Connor Ace did some shit. Sid almost got hit by a car. And the Easy Escape video came out.
Whoa, Connor Ace, Easy Escape. This is going to be a great episode.
It is.
Video games are hard. Fuck, suck my dick.
suck my dick. It's the Sid and Trey podcast. I don't know. I was going to sing something, but I'm not that
you chickened out on singing.
Dude, it's too late. We need to record these earlier.
Well, you know, we could have started this sooner, but...
I know. There's also a dog in my house.
But if we started really it sooner, you couldn't have the excuse of it being too late, so big brain.
I was walking this morning, and I was thinking to myself, how are we going to start the podcast? Because a few days ago, I was actually thinking, just like, what the fuck are we going to talk about? Like, I have nothing to talk about.
How are we going to start it, or what are we going to talk about?
No, just what are we going to talk about?
But now you have a laundry list of stuff, right?
I have a laundry list of things. I almost got hit by a car yesterday.
Ooh, it was weird. That sounds like a thing that's worth talking about.
It was weird. Until it happens, you don't know what you're going to do.
Wait, this was yesterday?
This was yesterday. Whew. I was walking to work. I was walking to work because I like to walk, and it's only like a 15-minute walk. It's whatever.
Okay.
And he was turning out of a street, and there was a bus coming on the... It was a major road, but he was turning onto the major road, turning right, and I was coming from his right side. And... There's a bus stop to the left of the road there, and there were a couple cars in the middle lane because it's a two lane each way road.
Mm-hmm.
And I was coming. I could have sworn he looked my direction at least, and it was a bright sunny day, and there was no shadow. Like I'm sitting there, and I'm a tall guy. I'm a fairly big guy, so I'm very confused and bewildered at all that. I got even
above the 6 foot threshold, so very tall.
I don't know how at all I could have been potentially hit. So, and as I was walking forward, I was just like, there's no way. And he just like started rolling into you. And then when you're in contact with a rolling vehicle, you change. You're a different person. Like, mm-hmm. There was a car pushing on my tibia, right? That's the right bone.
I'm no expert, but that sounds right to me.
Around that area of my leg, and for like a 2 seconds, I'm like, "What the fuck is going on?" So I like turned to the car and smacked the hood because that's the only option I have at that point. Like I'm smacking this hood. This guy's fucking stopping, or I'm getting run over. And he turned to me. He's wearing sunglasses. Seems like kind of my age ish, and looks and like put and does the like movie. Reaction where he just like takes his hand off the wheel and like stops the car obviously, but takes his hand off the wheel and looks me in the eye and goes like, "I'm sorry, man, I did not mean to." And I like point at him and I'm like super pissed. And one of my basic reactions when this almost happened was when I passed the car, like one of my first reactions was to like look at him and make sure that he's fucking stopping. But at the same time, I looked at his window to see if it was open, like to see if I could like yell shit at him, and it was closed. So I like, I guess it doesn't seem like that much, but I stared at him in the face and then I like pointed at him and then I just kind of kept walking. That's kind of the whole thing. But then when something like that happens, the whole 15-minute walk, because this was at the start of my walk, the whole 15-minute walk becomes thinking about that.
Yeah, I kind of think like, wow, that's crazy. So wait, so he was like doing a turn
yeah,
or like getting ready right to turn. So he was road. Like literally... Like his car was touching you?
Yeah, no, like for a good 2 seconds, he was like pushing my left leg. Like it wasn't like he was on the gas, but he was like rolling and potentially going to start gassing.
But you were walking, like, right? So wouldn't you eventually get ahead of the car or?
Well, no, literally it was like the perfect time for him to start rolling and hit me.
Uh-huh.
Like I was at the apex of the car.
Oh, I see.
He was turning right into me and... It
but your
weird.
Reaction wasn't to like back up quickly, like whoa, whoa, or like
no, because he like I went before I started crossing. I swear he turned my direction.
Uh huh.
So like he wasn't even in my view, like oh. And it's just a small car, so like it was just going into my leg, and I was just like, okay, fuck you.
That is so weird.
But like my point is, the next 15 minutes of the walk turns into me. Thinking about what had just happened and like how I, how like what I could have done differently or how I should have reacted to it and stuff like that. And all in all, I think I reacted fine to it. But if I'm not me, I'm a fairly large guy. Like, I still felt it, but it didn't hurt me. If I'm a little old man or a little old lady, I'm at least injured. Like, I'm hurt. It's weird. It's weird to think like that, but I don't know. That's basically what yesterday turned into. And I'm just like, and then like when I got to my destination, I was just like, I could talk about that on the podcast. And now we're here.
Oh yeah, interesting shit happening.
Yeah.
Video games are hard. We talk about near-death experiences.
Yeah.
Woo.
On the Trey and Sid podcast. That I was going to say in my little song that I was going to start with, I was going to be like, the Sid and Trey podcast. And it was going to be like a little song. I don't remember how it went anymore. Like, it was just like,
it was going to say Sid and Trey podcast, and it was going to be a song. It was going to be sick.
Yeah, there was going to be some sort of song too.
I believe you. Don't worry. I believe it was going to be sick.
Next week when I'm in a better mood, I'll do it.
When you're not thinking about that car next week as much,
well,
you're going to do it.
Other shit happened today.
Before we get into serious gaming, because we're all gamers here, video games are hard. That's the podcast name. I guess that sort of reminds me, it's not like the similar situation, but for some reason, that story reminded me of what happened one time when I was in California. Because I was in California for a summer for an internship 2 summers ago. And they have a really bizarre rule there that I'm not used to in Kansas, where motorcycles on the highway are allowed to go between lanes of traffic, right?
I thought that was able, you could do that pretty much everywhere.
No, in certain states, like in my state, you can't do that. Okay. So it was really weird to me when I was there, and I'm so not used to it. I wasn't always looking out for it. Like, maybe before I switched lanes, maybe there's a bike coming through the middle. I don't know. And one time I was actually, it was pretty crazy. I was coming back from San Diego or something, because I was in San Bernardino, which is a little northeast of that, I believe. But I was coming back there. It was a 5-lane highway, pretty heavily trafficked too. Like, it was busy somehow. And I was switching lanes, not thinking much of it. And I think I nearly hit a bike, like almost hit one. And
oh, shit.
That woke me up pretty well.
Yeah.
So when you're driving, you got to be just always just activize always.
Yeah. Well, like, it's not, my story, I'm not like trying to say like, oh, I was almost hurt or like, oh, what could have happened to me? I'm not trying to make myself the victim or anything. It's just like, it just wakes you up.
Yeah.
It's like Tracy.
Yeah. You realize your own mortality.
That's the closest I've ever been to hit by a car. And it's just like, it's just weird. So now I'm like, now since I've been driving, like I drove over the past couple of days since then, and it's just like, I'm looking for pedestrians.
I will not hit like, a pedestrian.
Before I wouldn't hit a pedestrian, but now I will never hit a pedestrian. So yeah, so that's how we start the podcast. We talk about just like random shit that happened to us.
A lot of stuff's been happening recently in the video game realm and the Sunshine realm. Yeah. Firstly, I just want to mention that Easy Escape and I, we finally released our collaborative video a couple days ago. Or I guess it was yesterday we released it from this recording. We recorded this on Saturday. Or right now it's Saturday. It'll be released on Tuesday though. And yeah, it's out. It's I believe it's called How This 2-Year Mario Sunshine World Record Was Finally Broken, or something of that sort.
It'll be in the description.
Yeah, we'll link it there. And so I collaborated with Easy Escape. We had this idea. He came up to me actually at the previous SGDQ 2019. We were having like a discussion about, you know, just random content creation in relation to speedrunning stuff. It was pretty interesting. And
you badass.
All that shit. And I don't know, we sort of just sprung up this idea of like, yo, what if we collaborated on a video? What would it be about? And he knew that I did the 80% history stuff and all that. And so we had the idea, like, you know, Diddy's record, I'm trying to think, when did Ouija's record happen? Was this, I can't remember.
September 15th was when JJ got it, according to the video.
It was September, yeah. And then Ouija was... Ouija was June 21st. So...
Oh, was it? Okay.
This was after Ouija's record happened, just barely. And we knew how big of a deal it was. Like, obviously I did. But, you know, he was like, yo, it's kind of a big deal that the Sunshine record was finally broken. we should make a video on that somehow. And that's where the idea came from. And it honestly, we should have finished the video much sooner because it wasn't like a crazy amount of, you know, research. Because considering I'm around in the community, I know what's going on. I could pretty much just tell him whatever information he needed pretty easily. It just took a while because he, you know, he does this stuff full time. He's a full time content creator. And he had many other projects, including, you know, the Yu-Gi-Oh guy he covered.
Yeah.
That was a pretty big story that went pretty viral. That guy who cheated in Yu-Gi-Oh Forbidden Memories.
No, never cheat.
But yeah, eventually we got around to it. It was a lot of fun. We would just talk on Discord sometimes. I would give him some editing suggestions like, oh, do a fade in there or cut off part of that PD fight there, stuff like that.
Here's a clip where Sida Williams makes fun of Nindita. Use that.
Yeah, actually, okay. So we actually did showcase, we referenced it in a previous podcast episode, right?
Yeah, in episode one.
Like, man, it would have been so perfect to have the clip of me roasting Didde in the 80% history video.
And it's even really a roast.
I remember that clip when I was in one of my first discussions with EDScape. I showed him that clip and we both were immediately like, okay, this is perfect to introduce, you know, Didde's insane time or whatever. And so we used it and it was kind of funny. We, at the very beginning of the EDScape video, there is a classic textbook good people call going on. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, from 2015. So, like, before Nindide made his mark, but after EYG happened.
Yep.
So, like, there's a very narrow window where that clip could have happened.
Yeah, because the very beginning, Cathalon was like, now that EYG is the thing, who's going to get the first 117?
And then Clayton goes, Didde.
And Quan's like, I think Didde, to be honest.
Yeah. And then I
like, yeah, you know, he could get it. He's not very consistent, and, you know, it requires talent.
It, to be fair, the requires talent line I've used multiple times.
Yeah, I just think it's like, funny.
It's literally just a reaction line that makes people go like, "Oh man, you're an asshole." Like, it's just like something to make everybody laugh.
Oh my god, Sid's the villain of the SMS community, confirmed.
It's not like I was sitting there like making a huge proclamation that Nindide was going to be horrible all the time. To be fair. But I didn't think he was going to be as great as he ended up being.
Dude, very few people really thought he was ever going to like follow through and really push to the higher level of play because just that play style never works out for anyone who just like, you get burnt out so easily just resetting over and over again like that so much.
But apparently in SMS, it works out really well.
If you're Didde, I think most people eventually get burnt out doing that, right?
Like Reed's doing it. And Reed's doing fine.
Well, Reed's showing some signs of burnout occasionally, be like, man, I just want to watch anime all day and not play Sunshine. But, you know, he has its ebbs and flows and when he comes back to it and whatnot.
But yeah, that was on the list. That was on my list.
We finally released it. Check it out in the description. Yeah.
It's a nice watch. There's an average tray portion.
Yeah, there's a very, you know, reminiscent of the 80% history video sounding portion where I'm doing a voiceover.
Yeah, for like legit, like what, 7 minutes straight, 6 minutes straight?
Yeah, we have it pretty like half and half, him and me.
Yeah.
And then he does like a little conclusion. And of course, we reference the Nindide GoFundMe to help out with a situation that's pretty dire. So.
That'll probably be linked in the description as
well. Yeah, we linked it in the first episode description. We'll link it again, because why not?
Whenever we mention Nindide.
And I think there has been a pretty big impact from that video. There's been some donations coming in, so really cool to see that.
There was some, somebody was on one of the Twitter posts, or maybe even YouTube. It probably was a Twitter post. It's just like, oh, he's made $300 since whatever.
And I was like in the first few hours it was up, so I wonder how much it is now.
That's cool.
It's crazy. All right, so we got that. Check it off the list. What's up next, Sid?
Well, if we're checking off the EDScape video, you guys didn't acknowledge J'Cool.
Oh, that was a... All right, I can explain.
There's a Reddit
post. They're putting me on blast now.
Big news.
Yeah, so there were a few people either in acquaintance with J'Cool or longtime viewers and or fanboys of J'Cool who picked up pretty quick that we didn't mention.
they picked up pretty quick.
When we were mentioning the 114 havers, we didn't mention J'Cool, who has a 114 potential using unofficial timing methods, which is very true. You know, he obviously can get a 114 if he does, you know, just straight up timing. But he does what's known as two file, which is, I'm gonna be honest. I think it's even more convoluted than race file is.
It looks so whack. You know how we love the word whack now? Two file is definitely whack.
Two file is the definition of whack. So it's supposed to be a loophole around the fact that race file skips gameplay. And technically you do all the gameplay, but it requires having two separate files. You open the first one, do the like all the airstrip movement stuff, and then okay, it does the stupidest thing. Right when you grab the shine, just like touch the shine, don't even see the shine get animation. What do? Like you reset, then go to your second.
You during the shine get animation while the shine is falling, you press reset, go to file select, click the next file, and go to race file.
And that's the run. And it looks so stupid. I'm sorry.
It's so whack.
It's like the most convoluted thing to include the gameplay and skip all the cutscenes. It's like so much work. Why even go through all that?
I just wanted to acknowledge the Reddit post phrasing of erasing J. Cool from history.
Oh yeah, I'm censoring history by not mentioning J. Cool.
You're attempting to rewrite history or erase J. Cool from world record.
I'm like some evil overlord. I'm like the super villain of the Sunshine community.
The documentarian is always the one that controls.
I can bend reality to my will by not mentioning J. Cool in a video.
But also the other one that I want to acknowledge before we go off the EasyScape video is a lot of things about YouTube comments is that or whatever comments, they end up being really popular at the start, but then when I watch the video or whatever, there's always these comments referencing that there was a bunch of comments.
Oh, are you talking about my comment?
No, well, yes. Your comment referencing that there's a bunch of comments saying that JJ was high, therefore he got the record. Like, yeah. What's that whole thing?
Dude, when I first went to the video, there were like 80 comments when I first watched it. It seemed like 4/5 of them were simply, oh, I get it. So do drugs and you get a free record. And okay, for the most part, they were memeing. It was clearly memeing. There were some replies I was seeing being dead serious. Like, yo, I wonder if it should be like disqualified if he was on painkillers. And it's like, first of all, okay, painkillers? How is that gonna? That doesn't help you. Like, what? the whole drug thing, the fact that he did the run after dental surgery, the drug thing was just a meme. It was like, oh, you know, performance enhancers from that surgery. Am I right? But
how did I even miss this? Like, I'm pretty ingrained in the community. I didn't even know he was high.
Well, I mean, it was more obvious because I was actually in that Discord call when he got the record, which was a really cool experience.
Yeah, brag more.
It was a very bizarre Discord call, though, because we were just all chilling, being all nonchalant while he was just destroying this record. And he was cool as a cucumber because, you know, he was heavily on drugs, of course. But I could tell his nerves were, you know, maybe his nerves were lessened a bit by it. But it's really nothing to worry about based on, you know, oh, the painkillers are the reason you got the record. I don't know about that.
Has any other SMS world record been gotten with painkillers?
I don't know. Maybe
was
Doudan.
Calf on painkillers?
What if Doudan was on painkillers?
Doudan was on painkillers? Oh, that's why he went deathless.
That's why he says things like, I didn't die a single time that time.
I didn't die a single time this time.
Oh, wait, that was you. You're Doudan. Holy crap.
I'm Doudan. Oh, no.
I recognize that voice.
But yeah, that's the EasyScape comment.
But yeah, more on the J. Cool thing, just to wrap that up.
Oh.
Look, I totally 100% respect J. Cool's skill. He's very, very talented at the game, obviously. I wasn't trying to censor history or anything because I'm the history guy. Whatever I say goes.
Erasing history, please, not censoring.
Yeah,
erasing.
I'm erasing history. No, the thing is, we were mentioning people on leaderboards with legitimate 114s because it would just feel unfair.
That's gonna make somebody rage.
Okay, I'm always in the wrong, I know.
You're always going to be in the wrong, dude.
How do I fix this? Okay, I don't, so...
Dude, censor yourself. Erase you. Erase
yeah,
yourself.
Yeah, just get rid of me, honestly. Fuck it, dude. Yeah. I'm the real issue.
Erase history? Hashtag erase average Trey.
Hashtag cancel average Trey for erasing history.
Yep.
I don't even know where I was going with this shit. Basically, I got nothing against J. Cole. We didn't intentionally leave it out. It was just... Okay, well, second of all, we actually... J. Cole is in the video. There was a brief clip showing Mansa strats from the SGDQ race of Quan and J. Cole. He was clearly on there.
I did see that.
So he was in the video, but I guess it wasn't enough because we didn't acknowledge his 114 without official timing. So, I don't know.
You should, like, I don't know how you acknowledge it in that video. You go, like, this guy also got 114, but it's not on the leaderboard. So, like, he could do it, but, like,
to sum it up, it's just wasted potential because he obviously has the potential to get a legitimate 114. He just decides to go on this own narrative of changing all the ways timing's ever worked for the game at the cost of not being officially recognized. So,
and to also sum it up, to add to the sum up, EasyScape responded to it saying something along the lines of, if J. Cool had beaten it with his own timing method, then he would have been mentioned in the video. And I'm like, I don't know how you mentioned that. I don't know
about, like, maybe, but I still don't know. Like, it's honestly, at the end of the day, it's just one video. It's not going to rewrite history or whatever bullshit. Like,
erase it.
I don't even know.
Not going to erase it. Hopefully.
I feel like there's a better way I could learn this stuff, but yeah, nothing against J. Cool. Video's out.
Fine.
Check it out. It's dope. Okay.
Yeah, video's good. It doesn't have enough J. Cool, you know?
You could have more J. Cool. That's true.
That happened, and I was just like, dude, we have actually shit to talk about. Like, this video came out. We could talk. Because it came kind of out of nowhere, really.
Yeah, it surprised me. I was sort of working around whatever EasyScape's work schedule was, well, working on the video schedule. And he finished what seemed like half the video's worth of work in about 1 week, which came out of nowhere. And it seemed like he had so much left to do, and all of a sudden he's like, okay, it's going to come out tomorrow. I was like, whoa, okay, cool.
Whoa.
Oh, and one final thing. I love the edit he did. This was all his idea of the Fairly Odd Parents thing in reference to JJ's dental stuff.
JJ's, sorry, which part?
You watched the video, right? The Fairly Odd Parents
part? I did. I just don't remember.
Where it's like the little cartoon Fairly Odd Parents of Timmy Turner.
I don't remember the Timmy
Did we
Turner
see
part.
The same
sorry.
Video?
I did watch it. I watched the entire... Dude, I was talking about the high
I was
thing.
Doing
I
narration. I was
this.
Like, JJ had this surgery and his mouth hurt and stuff. And while that was...
Oh, yeah.
And they were showing part of Fairly Odd Parents where it was like the Shiny Teeth and Me episode. It was sick.
Yeah, now I remember. Sorry, I was just...
Sorry, you're too much of a boomer to get that reference, I know, but it's okay.
I was too much of a boomer. Dude, I liked Fairly Odd Parents when I was a kid.
Yeah, I
remember that there was a Fairly Odd Parents part. I just don't remember specifically what it was.
That's surprising. Huh. Okay, well, there you go.
I'm sorry. Dude, I can't have everything stick in my craw, you know?
That's a good point. Not everything sticks. I think half your headspace is taken up by that near car incident.
Yeah, and the fact that the beginning of it was the clip, and I was like, I'm actually quite happy. But yeah. It seems like I'm an asshole, but also I'm quite happy that it's here.
And we were just shooting the shit. It's just kind of like a little snapshot moment of a funny Sid being an asshole moment, you know.
Get
hoot and holler in time.
Hoot and holler in time. But yeah, that video came out, and that's cool. We have the Connor A speedrun drama.
Ooh, this is a little out of date now, but we can still talk about it.
We can still talk about it. It's on my list of things to do. We could have avoided it, but I think... acknowledge it. It's speedruns, and we're attempting to not be a speedrun thing, but also be a speedrun thing.
Yep,
so
if that makes any
sense.
We have to acknowledge
the big speedrun drama of somebody splicing a cluster truck run to get into a GDQ, and then the weird fallout after the video was released of people siding with him, and then other people hating the people siding with him. It's a very weird mix of a lot of things.
There were many weird sides to this issue. So I think, like, clearly Connor Ace, you know, he did an oopsie.
He did an oopsie by splicing. Like, see, the oopsie, sure, you say he did an oopsie. He spliced a run.
He, like, there's no denying that he spliced a run to get the GDQ. That's fair. But
yeah.
On the other side, the guy who... realized this and sort of made his speech at the end of the Apollo Legend video,
yes,
being like, oh, if I would have just gotten this cluster truck running instead of Ace, it would have helped with my bills significantly because I'm trying to get off the ground here and streaming and, you know, getting into GDQ. This guy is also kind of weird too.
Yeah. Like, no, yeah, that's weird. But like, he's not in the wrong.
No.
Like, sure, he's kind of misguided by what... But,
I don't think
maybe,
your cluster truck run's going to really, you know.
You know what, man? Maybe.
You know what? Follow your dreams, man. You know, I believe in you.
Maybe they get off the ground. Maybe he does the, what was the claw shot, the hook shot, the thing in the center of the screen. Maybe he hook shots up to the next level of Twitch. with his cluster truck runs.
But yeah, but, we're referencing a video made by Apollo Legend that covers the whole issue.
It was very weird because, like, after it was released, I think Connor Ace just at GDQs. The only thing I know about Connor Ace before that was Connor Ace was involved in the Hat in Time pre-release beta speedrunning event that Cathlon was part of. And technically, I was a part of, but I actually never finished the game because I hated the controls. And so Caff and him and Noack and other people were involved in the beta race for Hat in Time, and Connor Ace held on to his video last second. I Caff told me this the other day. He held on to his video of his submission until last second so that he didn't give away strats, which is fair, totally fair.
Yeah, totally fair.
It's just a competition to see who does it the fastest before release.
And basically, the top five runners of this competition were to get a golden hat for being top five.
And some of them didn't even get a golden hat. Or it took like a while to get a golden
hat.
Here's
what happened after the competition. Like, I think a month or two went by with no golden hat. And then finally they got something and it was like the dinkiest little thing ever.
But I think it said their time though.
Yeah.
Or it was supposed to say their time.
I don't know, but I remember it was kind of like underwhelming.
Yeah, it's just like the shittiest.
Dude, I feel so sorry for you, Cap and Noack, but whatever.
Yeah, they know it. Like, I remember watching Noack actually stream it and be like, yeah, this is all we got, and it's just like a gold hat.
You know, it's not about the hat they got. It's about the friends they made along the way. And Noack, that was kind of the debut of Noack, who sort of befriended the speedrunning community from that. So there you go.
Yeah, he ran out of water. That's his notable moment.
He's out of fucking water. Okay. He's the out of water guy, by the way.
But yeah, he's the one that ran out of water in Piñata 6 in the bingo tournament.
Famously ran out of water.
Famous. But yeah, that's the origin, or that's the first knowing of who Connor Ace was for me. And,
but did you even mention exactly the sort of sketchy thing Ace did in that competition?
Well, he held onto his video until the last second that he could submit it, which is not like it's literally a speedrun competition to see who can finish the beta run for like the fastest before release. And he submitted it like before the time constraints, and he submitted it last second, but Caff and I don't know who won.
Does this username some guy from Denmark?
I don't know, but
the guy who won it,
that guy. Caff and him both had better times than Conray's time. So he held on to his strats and stuff, but he ended up being third. But
here's the thing. There's a piece of the puzzle you're missing here. Because Cathlon... Okay, actually, I don't know if I should talk about this. Maybe it's supposed to be private. But I'm going to talk about it. Whatever. Here we go.
Okay, go for it.
So Cathlon and Noack were telling me that Ace might have done something fishy to his game to help him out with it.
Oh,
so apparently,
are we adding more to the pot?
There's
let's go.
See, this when they told me the story originally, like a few months ago, I already had my sort of suspicions about Connor Ace. Nothing against him personally; I'm sure he's a great guy. Just had my sneaking suspicions. Basically, yes. Noack told me, I don't know if it's true or not, but Ace changed the frame rate of his game just slightly, maybe to like 61 FPS or so. And, you know, it's very, very subtle. You couldn't even notice it. But apparently doing that affected... There's like this room in the beta race.
Is it the meat like, cycle room?
Yeah, there's these little meat things going in a circle. And you have to make a certain cycle. And basically Ace would always get these amazing cycles that Caff and others can never even get. And I think it was a direct result of like slightly altering the frame rate of the video or the game.
That's interesting.
So I don't know. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's just what I heard from Noack. So
that's really funny. Let's stir the pot. I like it.
Do with that what you will. We're going to stir this pot till it breaks.
But yeah, so that was our first introduction to who Connor Ace was a while ago. And then all of this drama came out from the Apollo Legend video and the news of him. And he admitted it, like he spliced, but there was also some weird thing, like he was trying to justify. It's like, oh, I can also beat this guy now, and at the same time,
it was
there
the
going,
usual like fodder of like when you get caught, you sort of people who get caught on stuff like this always sort of say the same stuff in response to it.
Like, he was saying stuff like, oh, I could beat his time anyway. And he ended up beating his time, like, Ronin Panda.
Yeah, I think, didn't Ace, like, legitimately beat it?
Yeah, he beat it, like, within the week of the Apollo Legend video. This is,
God
like,
Gamer.
A week and a half after. To like, we recorded our last podcast, like, the day before all this happened. Or, like, as it was all happening, I think.
They were like, darn, all this drama we're missing out on. We gotta talk about it next week now.
We gotta talk about it next week, week and a half.
We're so behind the times.
But the weirdest thing is that a lot of people that I know as really, really nice streamers that Connor A's probably met at GDQs and stuff, because of the spliced video, I don't know, probably not, but whatever, were coming out on Twitter and defending him, and I'm sitting there going like, this is so weird.
Yeah, there was a ton, I'm not going to mention any names, but there was a ton of really weird blind defense of Ace saying Ace did literally nothing wrong. And first of all, he admitted he spliced, so you're wrong.
Maybe he's like a super nice guy.
I'm sure he is, like, in person and whatnot.
Just defending him based totally off character. It's weird. Like, the Goron guy spliced too, and he's pretty much back to where he was in the community of Majora's Mask and stuff. So it's not like holding against
that was
him
a while
right
ago.
Away, but it's not held against them forever, but it's just weird that a lot of things, like, this video came out kind of proving it, and he admitted it, and then all of this additional response to it being like, I'm on the side of the guy who's spliced, is kind of weird.
Oh, and I also saw a response in defense to Ace that was, like, literally one of my biggest pet peeves ever, and it was slung along the lines of, you know, I didn't even watch or acknowledge the video, because I don't want to show any support to it, but I'm sure it's wrong.
I don't want to give him watch minutes. I saw that comment.
Yeah, but it's like, but you didn't watch the video, so how do you know, like, what?
I don't know. Everybody in that situation, just give the person watch minutes to be informed on stuff. Like, I don't think
person's watch minutes is not going to make a difference. Okay.
I'm not saying Apollo Legend's a great guy. I know that B-Boy in the past has had drama with Apollo Legend, right?
Yeah, like, we're not saying Apollo is faultless, too. He's had his things in the past as well.
I actually don't know any of them, but whatever.
I know there's, like, a couple. I mean, he's done... Apollo is fine for the most part. There's just been, like, a couple sketchy things here and there. But
like, if you want to be, I don't know, all, what's the word I'm looking for? If you want to know what the fuck you're talking about, that's the word I'm looking for.
You should probably watch the video.
Watch the video. Don't be like, I know it's wrong.
Don't act like you're above the video and you know exactly what he's talking about. Like, oh, no, it's wrong. Ace is perfect. He would never do anything.
It's just, I don't know. Everything that came out of that was very, very weird.
It was just like a microcosm of someone getting outed and then blind defense and then person on the other side a little just, I don't know. I don't even know how I would describe it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just a lot of question marks came out of that situation. And then
Sinner and I were just sort of on the outside watching it unfold, and it was interesting.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, that Connor Race thing happened.
Interesting speed drama in the speed running community.
Yeah, I just wanted to acknowledge the drama. I didn't want to spur. I didn't know we were going to stir the pot, but you know what?
I feel like we have stirred many a pots this podcast already.
I'm totally down. You know, I was kind
of
in a bad mood.
We stirred the J-Cool pot. We stirred the Connor Ace pot.
I was kind of in a bad mood before this podcast. I was kind of in a bad mood, but now I'm totally bopping. I'm bopping along. Let's go. Let's stir.
He's bopping
pots.
Along. He's bopping along. Okay.
So that's the bigger two things that we wanted to talk about. I also have almost got getting hit by a car on my list, but I guess we already talked about that.
Wait. You almost got hit by a car?
Dude, I almost got hit by a car. Sit and Trey podcast. Oh, boo, boo, boo. All right.
I thought it was funny how Sid told me to question.
Yeah. We had a setup prepared.
The intro was only partially scripted, I promise.
Yeah, only partially scripted, and then it ended up being really bad, but that's fine.
That's what happens when you... I think the less you force stuff in a podcast, the better it is.
So, I guess we can talk about... I have mentality written on this because I wanted to talk about mentality. Because what I've been working on with my 96 Shines runs lately...
is mentality.
Mentality. So, I'm trying... This is trying to... I don't know. Approach speedrunning from a different perspective than I usually do. But The beginning of the year, I did go over it in one of the episodes, probably the first episode, about my bet with myself earlier this year to do like one run every day. And
then if you didn't get the record before March, you would have to switch to JP.
But right now, for the past week, I've been doing kind of the same thing. I didn't do a run today because I took a break, but for the 5 business days this week, I've done a one run of 96 shines within Super Mario Sunshine. And I'm trying to tackle it from a different perspective. Like, if something goes wrong, I'm trying to still pay attention. Like, mm-hmm. I've heard a lot of streamers and a lot of speedrunners talk about, like, when they screw up something, they just kind of tune out.
Dude, it's not even like a conscious thing either. It happens to everyone.
You just eventually you.
Where like if you're playing, especially like for a longer category, like in 120 shines, which is the longest of categories, if your mentality goes to shit before the halfway point in the run, it's probably over.
And it's not even like over for the rest of that run. It's probably over for me that day.
The stream
for the entire stream, it feels like that. But I've been trying to not do that because I've heard a bunch of speedrunners talk about that and go like, well, now this run's shit, so I'm just going to like unintentionally quit and make this potentially still 234 96 shine run 2 hours, 34 minutes and just kind of totally lose this and get a 238. Like that's what I've been trying not to do. And one day I had a really, 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 really good run. And then it just all went like I lost 2 minutes in like the second last level and I screwed up Noki 100s, but I've been like trying to consciously not do it. And it's really fucking hard. It's hard.
Especially in a category that long.
It's like I had a tweet earlier this year saying something along the lines of, if you can't finish a bad run, what makes you think you can finish a good run? It's so hard to finish bad runs.
Ooh. That's so deep.
It's so hard to finish bad runs, dude. You like screw up because I've been trying to do just no resets, and because I can't get I can theoretically get I was 10 seconds off my PB, which is 12 seconds off record, or 13 seconds off record, whatever. And like it was a well paced run and stuff, but when I knew it was over, I stayed in the run just to see if I could like either PB or just like barely get off PB because I've been only playing the category for like 3 days at that point. So, or in this new session of 96 shines,
this new era, season 3 of 96 shine grinding.
Exactly. Which Trey was very close to if he was more well practiced in 96 shines or in the 96 shines specific run or specific shines earlier today, he could have potentially gotten record because he was like, what, a minute ahead of my PB.
Well, okay, I was going to wait till your mentality thing was over to mention it. But yeah, I did my first 96 shine run since September 2015 today.
Yeah.
So it's been over 4 years, and I got a PB by 6 minutes and 15 seconds.
Dude, you've gotten so much better at the game.
That's crazy. I would hope in 4 years I did.
That's so crazy. No, it's probably the reroute in Bianco 100s. That got you that.
Oh, time. Yeah. That Bianca Hunter's reroute alone gave me like probably 5 minutes right there.
Yeah. And maybe like, maybe balloons practice in Pin 8. That's probably it.
Yeah. Yeah. That Dutch J balloon setup that I do. It's so good.
So, that's probably it.
But yeah, in that first run, I've only done one run since my return. I did one run today on stream. I had this like crazy early game that made me wish it was 80% because I suck at getting good early games in 80%. And yeah, that came out of nowhere. But then, you know, in late game, I'm not super well practiced in 96 shine specific stuff, like 100 coin shines, red coin shines, all the extra stuff.
Yeah, all those shit.
A little fell apart. I died in Noki 6. Some other stuff happened. My splits that I made were messed up. I think I made like 3 mistakes on making my splits. So I like didn't realize I had to do gelato pipe at a certain moment, and I left out box game 2 entirely.
Yeah.
So what? After all that nonsense, I still ended up getting a 237.19.
Which is good.
Which is exactly 3 minutes off the record. So
that's better.
With a few
than
more attempts
my,
and some more practice, I could definitely get closer to that.
That's better than my PB at the beginning of the year.
There you go.
So that's how much I've improved. Let's talk about me.
Let's talk about Sid. You know, the real 96 shines guy here.
My actual question is, why didn't you? Because I was thinking about it before, but I thought I'd ask it on the podcast. Why didn't you just like get that really good PD and go, fuck it, do any percent. Because you had only done any percent up to that point, right?
Dude, I was so close to it. I had literally one of my best starts because in both 96 shines and any percent, the beginning up until beat shine early, which is like the sixth shine, is exactly the same. Mm-hmm. And I had a, with auto splitter, 1230 out of Bianco 5, which is equivalent to 12? 1630 out of Bianco 5.
The equivalent of 1230.
No. Which is the equivalent of 1627 regular timing, which is one of my best starts ever.
Yeah.
You're
notorious for having really bad starts.
Yeah, when I'm doing 80% streams, 80% of my starts are garbage. So I was like, you know, it's not too late to make 80%, but I was like, I've committed to this. I'm doing 96 shines.
It was really not too late to commit to. And you
know, it wasn't, but I didn't have my splits up and I had my auto splitter 96 shine splits up, and you know, it was different.
Yeah, it's gross. It's weird.
That's a bad mentality to have, but I blame myself for that.
No, I would have totally been the same way if I cared about 80%, for the record.
Instead of 80%, I'm going to go for the best 96 shines run ever right now.
Yeah.
Despite not being well practiced, another 96 shine stuff. Let's do it.
Yeah, except for if I had a start that good, if I was doing an any percent run and got a really good PD, I'd be sitting there going like, I didn't do a coconut clip because I use a different version that actually saves time at the start. So
that makes the beginning of my run a bit easier because I don't have to do underbell early, which is essentially doing a fruit clip during the Bianco Piranha Plant unlock. And it's a bit tricky, but in JP, it's not nearly as worth it because the coconut's not there.
It sucks so in JP. It actually loses
time. It can only
time.
Save, like, what, 2 seconds on JP, if even that?
I know that Plant Chinko only, like, saves 4 seconds on it. But Plant Chinko is
what the heck is
it.
A Plant Chinko?
Oh, Plant Chinko. So Plant Chinko is when you spray the Bianco Piranha Plant, and instead of entering Bianco or getting the coconut clip and getting the underbell shine, instead of either of those, you enter Pachinko, which is the Pachinko game that apparently some people just quit out during their casual playthrough and just don't like
it, playing. It sucks casually because the physics make no sense.
Yeah, they actually do make kind of sense if you speedrun the game, but if you don't speedrun the game, they make zero fucking sense. But yeah, if you enter at the right frame, I don't even know specifically, I've never done the trick, but I know that you can enter too fast Pachinko and you can enter too slow. So,
and on top of that, it's like extremely, basically you're unlocking Bianco and entering Pachinko before the cutscene starts.
Yeah.
So you're literally spraying the Bianco Piranha Plant from the rooftop, and as soon as you do the third hit, you quickly hover slide off a ledge, do an extremely tight hover timing, ground pound into the Pachinko entry, which is like, it's like in the ceiling where that little coin is on that little.
And ground pounding makes it so that Mario's hitbox goes a little bit higher so that it cloud cancels and stuff like that, where you ground pound and land on the platform instead. So you go like a little bit higher than you should be. So you just like Mario's hitbox goes a little bit higher and just touches the loading zone. And then, but like as you're watching him hit the loading zone, he's ground pounding out of the hole, which is really funny. But yeah. So essentially it just adds potentially a really hard trick if you want to do it, but nobody does it. Only people that go for 20 shines world record do it.
Yeah, basically in 20 shines is an extremely optimized race category, which it starts from race file. And you get 19 shines because you already have one.
So,
the category.
Because you skip the opening cutscene and airstrip and everything, everybody just goes like, well, we're going to throw everything out the window and not give a fuck if we're going to reset. That's essentially what race file does.
Yeah, it's basically like a 20 shines. You just got to go balls to the wall for world record and do like everything risky.
And that's where I kind of like I did a little bit of grinding of 10 shines, which is not 20 shines. It's kind of different. There's no blue coins, blah, blah,
10
blah.
Shines is not 20 shines. No,
10 shines is not 20 shines. You only have to collect 9 rather than 19.
Whoa.
That's
less than half of that.
But when I did my day and a half grind a year ago of 10 shines, I understand the perspective of race file, but like it feels so wrong. Like,
and it also feels so grindy.
Yeah. It makes it feel so grindy.
It just doesn't feel like the whole game. It just feels like, okay, we're starting it. It's like new game plus. We're just doing a little thing here. Okay.
you would think that watching the cutscene would make it feel more grindy, but like it makes you feel like the way I kind of said it last year was just like it feels like I'm gluttonous. I'm suffering from the sin of gluttony when I'm playing a race file category, because you just do whatever the fuck strats you want to do, and there's no fear of resetting. It's just so contrary to every other category.
It was funny. When you were mentioning gluttony, I was staring at like the Fat Mario Discord profile picture you had. Like, yep, gluttony. Yep, there you go.
Yeah, it's gluttony. But yeah, like the Tenshin strat, it starts off with like a GWKD over the wall and shit like that. And I don't even go for scumbag movement in any percent. So it's just like this stark contrast of like, here's this GWKD, which is a glitch wall kick, which is fine inputs if you don't know Super Mario Sunshine, just like YAB pretty fast.
Yab. It's a yab input.
Yab input and go over the wall. And it's very specific. Not new runners probably would fuck it up a lot.
When you first try to do glitchy wall kick dives, your muscle memory is not developed at all and you can't do them at all.
Yeah.
But over time, over like playing the game more, it's like second nature almost.
Free running Delfino. Everybody got good at free running Delfino. It's like, I'm going to start doing swag GWKDs. Anyway, the Tenshin's run starts with a GWKD over the wall, and my regular any percent run is just literally like water slide forward and then turn right. It's just like
old school.
Yeah, super old school, not even doing the scumbag movement, because I've seen Reed reset way too many times doing scumbag movement. I am scared shitless of doing that shit.
It's not that bad. Like, I almost never mess it up now.
But when you do.
But maybe that's just me. I don't know.
but yeah, so, like, back to Plant Chinko, or, yeah, back to that strat. That's a strat that you only do for a category that you don't watch the 7-minute cutscene.
And yeah, we were just mentioning that because it could be done in 96 shines, but it's not worth it considering you have all the cutscene before and it's very precise. So
long story short, we're both playing 96 shines. Trey's coming for my third place spot.
Well, okay, I'm mostly
coming for my third place spot.
I'm coming for your third place spot, but my biggest focus, probably like 70% of my focus, is on 8% still to get that 114. And then sort of as like a little side thing to not get burnt out as fast, 96 shines, I'm coming for Sid.
20% is dedicated to Fire Emblem, 10% 96 shines, 70% any percent.
There we go. That's the better math.
That's a good math.
Fire Emblem still takes priority over 96 shines.
96 shines is fun. It's a fun category. A lot of people, when they watch it the first time, they're just like, oh, this is kind of a sick category. I'm just like, yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, as like a really in the past avid 120 shines runner, it just does. It feels like a watered down 120 for the most part, because it's like, oh, I'm doing a thing here, except I'm not getting bluebirds or I'm not getting these particular blue coins.
No.
And it's kind of nice because it feels like, OK, I don't got to do as much work. That's cool.
No, the hundos, cool, dude, the hundos are sick.
OK, I'll give you that. Some of the hundo routing, especially Piazza, I do not like Piazza hundo in 120 whatsoever, because
okay, all right, you've complained about Bianco hundreds in 96 shines. Bianco hundreds in 96 shines versus Bianco hundreds in 120 shines.
Okay, I prefer Bianco hundreds in 120 shines.
No,
because okay, don't knock it till you try it, first of all.
Why?
Second of all, okay, so
it's a 5-minute
for those
split.
Who don't know, Bianco hundo in 120 shines is the longest shine in any category ever.
Yes.
The best known split is like a 5-minute even split.
Yeah, just sub 5.
Here's the thing. Length isn't a thing here, because it's honestly, it's kind of satisfying. It's like you're going around this world, you know, go here first, get these little groups of coins, see what Fruit Yoshi wants, get him that fruit, you know, do a Kenny sliding on the way there, really sick tech.
If you can, right?
And then, you know, you get some Yoshi stuff, and, you know, you get some butterflies. And I don't know, like, maybe I'm just... You have like weird nostalgia goggles for it, but
Boomer.
I find that better than the plain Jane 96 shines Bianco 100.
No!
Because that literally all that is flower bed,
no!
Dirty water, annoying swimming, coins
no!
on the fucking bridge you climb on like an asshole,
no!
More flower beds that are random, and then pokey sprouts, and that's it.
No!
I know it's like your favorite level. But I'm not a fan, personally.
Dude, I feel like I just find the nuance and shit and really enjoy stuff. Because I don't even hate pin 100s. anymore. Like, I used to hate Pin-100s, but, like, I found nuance in it. For anybody that doesn't know, Pin-100s is where you spam spray a goddamn beach. You spam spray a beach and kill a few stews. And then people in chat go, why aren't you using Yoshi? Yoshi would be faster. And I go, no. Yoshi is not faster.
I'll give you that. I think Pin-100s can be satisfying when the coins are popping off. You're like, yeah, man, I'm rolling in it. Let's go.
I'm rolling in it.
Although it is very frustrating when the coins are just not showing up. And you're like, what the hell, dude? I'm spraying the shit out of this beach. Where are these coins at?
Yeah, fuck. This beach is getting watered.
The thing is, the coins are not random. Every single coin has a set location.
Yep.
But there are so many, it may as well be random. And spam sprays are inherently random as they are. So it's basically random.
Yeah, because you're just spam spraying and you're just like, I know there's a bunch in this area, and I know there's a bunch in this area, and I know there's a bunch in this area. So have at it.
The more you play it, the more you pick up on like different patches of the beach that have statistically more coins laying there. So it's kind of neat that way.
Yeah. So my point is, I find the nuance. I found the nuance in those levels, so I very much enjoy them. Also, I'm very good at Bianco Hundreds in comparison to everybody. But I'm the only person
that
really does
it. How many seconds do you have Bianco Hundreds world record by?
I don't know who has second. Who has second?
I have no idea. I thought you would know.
I don't know who has second. Like, I know
you would know who's gunning for you there.
I know that there's a lot of people like I top runners have difficulty getting sub 3.
I got a 307.
To be fair, I play a lot of 96 chance. So I'm one of the only people that dedicate a lot of time to just the 100 coin shines, whereas other people go like, I'm going to play 120 and then I'm going to play 96 as a break, or the Trey perspective is just like, I'm going to play any percent and then play 96 as a break or whatever. So I'm the only guy dedicated just to these levels, essentially. So it would make sense that I have world record in multiple of them. But yeah, a lot of top runners that play 96 shines, Bianco hundreds struggle to get sub 3 minutes splits, and I get my best is a 243. To be fair, that's
honestly
really fucking good.
Sub 3 is pretty free if you don't get any flower beds that troll you, but inevitably at least one's going to troll you. Yeah. So
it's
because even like whether you're casually playing or fucking Nanashi himself, those flower beds will troll you. Like, you're spraying every single one the best you can. Just one doesn't open up, and you gotta respray all of them again. It's the worst thing ever.
It's back to the RNG spam sprays. Sometimes you're just spam spray, doesn't work.
And then you just gotta say, fuck it, spin spray. Then you still miss one, and then you're just raging. And then okay.
The best thing, not the best thing about Bianco Hundreds, but a very good thing to have in your back pocket is backups for flower beds. You spam spray the flower bed, you fail, you kill the sprouts, spray the flower bed, get the sprout coins, go back to the flower bed. Like, there's a lot of nuance.
And to be fair, I've picked up on some of that nuance from 120, but it's still annoying at the end of the day.
I'm fine with you saying it's annoying, you know. But
I'm glad you're fine with my personal opinion. That's good.
Just like you think that potentially Yoshi could be better. I think, okay, I know we're talking about Super Mario Sunshine specific shit, but it's fine. Guy has the world record in Pin 100s, right?
I don't even know by how much, because like
five.
On the IL spreadsheet by quite a bit, but I don't know what actually is second place.
I think it is SB. I don't think I've beaten SB.
Again, Guy, plot twist, does use Yoshi.
I am very against using Yoshi. This is how I referenced it. You know how Nindide used to have the world record? You know how we never referenced that ever?
Wait, Dede had record? What?
Dede used to have the world record, okay? And the next...
I thought he didn't even have talent.
And the next six spots, the next six spots were the Japanese wall, right? Something like that?
Ooh, the famous four. Japanese wall. The Japanese wall is crumbling as we speak.
It's definitely... I'm getting in there. The top three is America now. It should.
America.
But, so, my metaphor was, you know how Nindide used to have a world record, and then there was the wall of Japanese? I think... Very, very optimal gameplay in Pinna 100s without Yoshi is the Nindide. But it's easier to get a really good time with Yoshi. So the Japanese wall is Yoshi times. Below that is all the Americans trying to penetrate the Japanese wall without Yoshis. And then Nindide is the Yoshi-less super optimal player.
So what you're saying is there's sort of this weird thing going on with Planet Hundreds where at a super low level, it's better with Yoshi. At like a medium level, it's better without Yoshi. At a high level, it's better with Yoshi. At a super 200 gigabrain IQ level, it's better without Yoshi.
Sure. I don't know about the lower levels, but yes, that's the top.
Well, yeah,
two
that, that can go either way. But
yeah,
there's like this weird, like, as you progress in skill, at the peak of the mountain, no Yoshi gets on top.
That's what I think. I think the TAS would be without Yoshi.
Yeah, well, the TAS would just spray everything perfectly and get everything immediately.
But that's my point. Like, Yoshi's super fucking slow and walks around. But, well, like, okay. Mario can dive
well,
roll
out. Well, one thing is that you're already moving kind of slow regardless because you got to, like, spray and stop, you know, walk at these coins, whatnot. But, you know, Yoshi walking is faster than Mario walking.
That's also very true. You know
so,
what?
I don't know.
We can go back and forth this whole time about Pinna 100s.
This is now a Pinna 100 Yoshi or no Yoshi debate.
I think that Yoshi-less at its peak can be faster than everything else.
I think that perhaps Yoshi is better for runs because didn't you think it can be more consistent?
Yes.
But if you're trying to be truly optimal, truly get the greatest 96 shines run the land's ever seen, fuck Yoshi.
Yes.
I can get behind that.
Yeah. And it's like, I think I was talking to somebody about it. For specifically using NTSCU, because I used the other version of the game, it's like in Melee when people, I know I reference Melee a lot, but people do when they play Melee, they're just like, oh, when you're starting to play the game, like, be true to yourself, essentially. Like, play the way you want to play it. If you want to, like, play super optimal and stuff like that, maybe that's not super necessarily the best for you. And stuff like that. I kind of transfer that mindset to Sunshine where I don't do a lot of the optimal shit, but I play the game the way I want to play it. And I use NTSCU. I think NTSCU is probably just more of a stubborn thing than anything else. But like I don't do momentum spin jump in Serena 4. And a lot of people get on my bag about that. And I don't do a lot of strats.
Basically, Yoshi if included. Anyone's getting on your back for not doing a certain strat, just... You got to just go your own path. Just not worry about them. Do your own thing.
Do your own thing.
Carve your own path to victory in 96 shines or any category.
If that means not using Yoshi in Pin 100s, I'll die on that sword.
And you know what? I sort of have like, I meet in the middle on that. I will use Yoshi depending on what fruit he wants and if the fruit's convenient. But if he wants coconut, hell no, I'm not using Yoshi there.
Yeah. The Yoshi egg is just like in the middle of everything. So, like, you can...
Both coconuts are behind the egg, so it requires you to go behind him, get the coconut, run back to him, give it to him.
Yeah, there's three fruits where it's okay. Like, there's banana, papaya, and pineapple. To get super into Super Mario Sunshine, they're in decent spots for you to get them and then give Yoshi them and then... And the reason Yoshi could be potentially better for Pin 100s is that, for some reason... In addition to giving Mario a water refill, which I don't think is neither here nor there, but a lot of people reference it, Yoshi's juice that he sprays instead of water is somehow more effective at claiming the coins from the ground. I think that's kind of false.
Even if that is true, the main thing that he saves time on is the stews, because you can literally just eat them and get all the coins from them.
Yeah.
Instead of like having to meticulously spray each one down and jump on them, you can just... Tap B, eat him up, and while you're doing that, spray the ground as well.
It's just a spam spray, man. See, if you spam spray with Yoshi, though, it makes the fucking stews turn into blocks.
Yeah, but you can, like, spray regularly while you eat them and, you know, kill two birds with one stone.
See, now I kind of get where you're getting at. Like, mid-tier, when you become mid-tier SMS, you get better at not spraying the stews with Yoshi. Mm-hmm. The like mid-tier Pinna 100s would be using Yoshi, but below that it's just like avoid Yoshi altogether. Maybe you'll fuck it up entirely by spraying a stew into a block, shit like that.
What we're getting at is that Pinna 100s is actually the most deep 100 coin level of all time.
No, what we're getting at is that video games are hard. Even if it's just spam spraying a goddamn beach.
Yeah, that's totally right. We're having this big discussion over the best way to spray a freaking beach for coins, and we're making video games hard, aren't we?
Just spam spray a beach. That's all you do.
That always comes full circle, doesn't it?
And we literally just talked about it for 10 minutes.
Whew, that went by fast.
That was incredible.
You know, I can't talk about Connor Ace forever, but talking about spraying Pinna Beach, that one.
We know the nuance. To be fair, we know the nuance of Pinna Beach.
Yeah, yeah.
But we don't know the nuance of the Connor Ace story. That's our issue.
We really don't. We're honestly just outsiders to that whole issue. We don't really know what's going on the inside or anything about that. We've never played Cluster Truck or whatever, so.
We want to, though.
It looks hella sick, though.
We really want to.
And you know what? Just from that video, I'm going to follow that guy, you know, help him with his bills and just.
His burgeoning Cluster Truck stream.
Help a brother out.
Help a brother out.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we were actually not going to acknowledge the Connor Ace story, and I feel like us acknowledging it is good. But I feel like if we didn't acknowledge it, it would just be kind of us being like, "Yeah, we're pussies." So
no, I think we've been very brave this episode. We're talking about these hot button topics in the speedrunning community. We are putting ourselves out here.
We want to be speedrun news. This is our speedrun news segment. Oh, speaking of speedrun news, didn't the Tupac world record get beaten?
Oh, dude, I totally forgot. Oh, my goodness.
I got your back, dude.
You have my back.
I got your back.
So in other speedrun news not related to Sunshine or Cluster Truck, for that matter.
Woo.
So sort of my secondary game that I used to run, I'm kind of retired from it now. But I used to be a huge Pac-Man World 2 speedrunner, which is essentially a Pac-Man 3D platformer. It was on GameCube, PS2, PC, and Xbox. I think it's pretty much like the quintessential 3D Pac-Man platforming experience.
The quintessential, specifically 3D Pac-Man platforming experience.
Quintessential for that very specific thing. It's a pretty good game though, and I've been running it, not recently, but I've had 3 different world records in the past. I was in pretty heated competition with the Ruse Man, who was sort of like the god of that game after.
Oh, don't say his name.
Oh, sorry. Ruse S. No, he doesn't want to say his name. I've doxed him.
Only
anyway.
3 people are going to understand that joke, but they are going to laugh.
I really hope you hear that part. Anyway.
I'm one of them.
Yeah, you're one of them. Other 2 people, I know. I'm counting on you to hear that. It's funny.
Yes.
Okay, so. Oh, yeah. So, Pac-Man World 2. Sort of as like a overall joke, we like to refer to the game as Tupac. It's pretty pretty funny.
Hilarious. All right,
but yeah, in Tupac, the former record by that mystery he who shall not be named, but I just named him. He had a 41:10, I believe, was where the record was at for the past year or so. So basically, my most recent record in that game, which was a 41:44.
Yes,
this was pretty shortly after. So the most notorious boss fight in Pac-Man World 2 is Clyde in the Caldera. It's the I'm like going on like so many different paths here.
Yeah, I know. So, I don't know. You keep like cutting yourself off and then going.
And then
earlier.
This one thing reminds me of this one thing, which is also based on this thing. Okay,
woo!
So
Pinna 100s.
I'm opening up all kinds of doors here. Life has many doors, Ed boy. So the overall story I'm getting to, which I'll touch on this. I'll get to these little niche counter things eventually. New world record in Pac-Man World 2 set by Dage 4. He got a 40:59. Got the first sub 41. Hell yeah. I'm proud of him.
Oh, shit. Okay, good. Did you touch on the other things?
No, but I'm going to get to it now.
Good. All right.
I was opening up all these different like pathways in this conversation, but
and then
the
like...
main thing is, yes, the sub 41 minutes finally happened. By a really talented speedrunner. So Dage 4, he's actually he's held records at the exact same time in both Sonic Adventure 1 and Sonic Adventure 2, which are pretty highly competitive games in their own right.
Okay.
Like more competitive than Pac-Man even. So cool. Super talented guy. He got that Pac-Man World 2 record.
So he's like a DJ Nintendo.
Yeah, he had like all these records before and he just didn't record them. But, you know. Just like DJ Nintendo.
Just like DJ Nintendo.
I forgot about that. Yeah. But yeah, let's talk about Clyde, the most notorious boss fight in all all 3D Pac-Man platformers.
All of them.
Out of all of them, most notorious one.
Out of all of these niche... Okay, let's go.
So basically, so Clyde, let's just say in my semi-blind race of the game before I picked the game up to speedrun, I spent 50 minutes trying to beat Clyde, which is longer than an 80% run should be by itself, because he's so goddamn annoying.
Goddamn.
But believe me, he's just as bad in speedruns, especially after a more recent strat was found where you can actually do very precise bounces on one of the eyes of his little ship thing and get on top of him early. Yeah. It's just ridiculously precise. But in more recent months, better setups have been found for that.
Okay.
Making them a little more viable to go for.
Because I remember you grinding that or trying it out when it was new, and you're just like, this is the worst.
Yeah, it's pretty terrible. And in my 41-44, which was a former record, I only went for 2 Clyde Eye bounces because they weren't nearly as viable back then. They were like a lot more... The setups were way worse. They were just not as doable in runs. Because it's like 30 minutes into a run. Well, not even that, but pretty far into a run. Super easy to mess up. If you mess up, you die. So, and each one saves about 10 to 15 seconds depending on the cycle you're doing it on. And there's 5 phases total on Clyde. So essentially there were 3 phases I just didn't go for, you know, a quote unquote free 10 to 15 second time saver on. But in Dage's run, as far as I know, he does all the Clyde Eye bounces with the more refined modern setups on top of amazing gameplay the rest of the run, I'm sure. So he, I'm sure the time could go lower, but the fact that the sub happened is really sick to see. Congratulations to Dage 4. On that.
Is the man who shall not be named, who was actually named, potentially going to come back, or no?
You know, it's funny because he was sort of gone for a while, for many months, but he's actually been active in a few Discords I'm in recently, so maybe he's thinking about it. Maybe he sort of had this inkling of record being beaten soon, which it did, and maybe he'll come back to grind for a 40 of his own.
Maybe he'll release his old videos again.
Oh yeah.
Maybe he'll anti-scrub himself from the internet.
So the thing we're sort of memeing about with the he who shall not be named, basically he removed like this legend of Pac-Man World 2 who had the record before Dage had it. He removed all of his videos with face cam or his mic just in case his coworkers would stumble upon them and find that he plays Pac-Man.
I love this story.
I don't know how you'd find these Pac-Man tutorials, just, you know, as a...
Is this you?
You know, I was on YouTube the other day. I was looking at Pac-Man World 2 tutorials, and this guy sounds like you, man.
No, it's not me, I swear.
You know, when I was going from my TikTok compilations to Pac-Man World 2 tutorials, I saw these. It sounds like you. Is that you? I don't know. It's kind of funny, but...
I think that's hilarious.
You know, I got to respect his privacy, and I respect him as a friend of mine, so I'm not going to rag on him too much, but it's funny, okay? It's funny.
Yeah, it's funny to reference every now and then.
I don't know. It's sort of like crossing the line of how private you should be about stuff. Like, you really shouldn't worry about that stuff, probably, but what do I know, you know?
Who knows?
Maybe he's also right. Canadian, so maybe it's a Canadian thing, am I right?
Hey, stop doxing him.
Whoa, I'm sorry.
Whoa.
My bad. So yeah, that's Pac-Man World 2. Clyde sucks. Dage is sick.
That's our speedrun news segment.
I'm not sure if people are going to push for a lower 40 at the moment. I'm sure people are still playing it, obviously. But
So that's our speedrun news segment. It was the Connor Ace thing, pin of hundreds, and the Pac-Man 2 world record.
Pac-Man World 2.
Pac-Man World 2. Sorry.
Most critically acclaimed 3D Pac-Man platformer of all time. World record.
But yeah, so like the other day, I was thinking this wasn't going to be anything. There's a lot of news.
There is
a lot of speedrun news.
I always feel like leading up before our next recording, it's like, man, what the hell are we going to talk about? But there's always something.
Yeah, but we still have these spaces where we are not sure what we're going to go talk about next.
So things
we're just
are happening.
Talking to one another, just feeling it out.
When are we going to have our first, you know, one of those segments in this podcast?
Yeah, I never sent you the information. I was gonna talk to you about it not on the podcast, but we'll talk about
maybe we'll do it next episode, whatever that thing is.
Yeah.
not going to spoil it, but it's pretty epic. Believe us.
I was thinking about it like literally 2 hours ago. I was just like, should I send him the information? But also I was like, lying down. I was like, I don't want to.
You're like, you know what? It's late. I got that car in my mind. I'm not going to do it. Fuck it.
Like, dude, that car is inside of my brain.
It is like inside your character, like in Space Invaders.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like in my leg. It was
Inside your dad can relate to you on that car thing.
Yeah.
Except in the video game world. Oh, one more random sunshine thing. There was a super easy, I don't know how easy it is.
Super easy.
There was, as a person who's never done it before and has not done much research, there is a super easy variant of Lily Pad early in Super Mario Sunshine.
Okay. Oh, is it like the banana clip through the pipe?
Yeah, there's a new banana clip on the pipe. Lily Pad.
Dude, where are all these banana clips coming from?
I don't know. And when I see that, I'm like, how has this not been found yet? But like, apparently the only way to make it work is by being on one of the very seams of the pipe. So I guess I can kind of understand that, but.
Is everybody just trying to make like Lily Pad clip, like clipping into Lily Pad, the way to get into Lily Pad, like in a run? Because none of these are viable. Like none
it's
of
never going
like,
to happen, but for as far as bingo goes, this will be pretty useful in bingo, I'm sure.
Yeah, it looks useful. You just kind of clip through the pipe with the banana, and then you're just kind of in there. But like over the past couple of years, there's been four different clips found for Lily Pad early. Like a couple of them viable for, what is it, Max Pacifist percent, mm-hmm. which is a meme category. Like super meme category that only two people have run.
Because people can actually finish a run of it.
Yeah. Well, I didn't finish mine.
Yeah, because you can't. You're incapable of it.
I'm incapable of doing that category. It's a hard category. But yeah, there's four different clips. There's like jumping on a barrel and hoping you clip. There's ground pounding and then clipping through the ground using the box game timer glitch. And then there's a couple new banana ones. Like these banana ones are fresh as shit. Like a banana.
Those bananas are ripe, man.
Yeah.
But yeah, we don't really know much about it. All we know is that there's just a, it looks simple. I don't know how precise it actually is though. So
the last thing, you know how there's been like blank spaces? Like I have still things on my notepad, but I don't know how to transition. So also, I'm just going to like say it so that we can transition into talking about it. I wanted to complain about the SNES controller on the Switch, and I don't know how to ingrain that into the conversation naturally, so I'm just going to say it out loud.
I think we're done with all the Sunshine stuff. We can just sort of talk about it now.
Are we done talking about PIN-100s?
We are done arguing at PIN-100s, yes.
Are we ever done with PIN-100s? Will we ever be done?
Maybe I'll consider not using Yoshi next, and then...
We'll talk about it. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
But yeah, there's the new SNES controller. So not in speedrunning related at all. We're done our speedrun segment. This is our casual gaming segment. I'm a Switch owner.
Same.
And I have my new SNES controller that Nintendo... I actually have two of them. That Nintendo advertised and was just like, you know, you can buy them for $30 or $40 Canadian, blah. But you can buy them online if you have your Nintendo online account, right? You can only buy them if you had an online account. So I bought two of them because, you know what? I don't have a second person to play with, but if I did have a second person to play with, they could use it. Also, I like having multiple controllers so that just in case it breaks, I have another controller instead of it being out of stock. Anyway, my complaint about this controller, it's great. That's my complaint. It's a great controller. It works very well for Tetris. It works very well for SNES games. It works the best for Mario Maker 2 because it works perfectly. All the buttons are here. You know how I said it was great for Tetris? It sucks balls for Tetris, even though it's great for Tetris.
And is that because in Tetris 99, you can't like switch between random or attackers and stuff with it?
You cannot switch who you are attacking with the SNES controller. Everything else is perfection. It's a great D-pad. The buttons are great. You can press up. You can press hold. You can do everything with the controller.
You can press up. You can press right. You can press left. You can press down.
You can do all of those things.
All four directions.
But because Tetris 99 is a battle royale that requires you to face 98 other Tetris players at the same time, unless you're playing Invictus mode. Another complaint about Tetris 99, I know somebody was very happy that we talked a lot about Tetris last week, and I hear you, sir. There's an Invictus mode now, which is everybody that has won a game can play against people who have also won, which isn't a very high barrier, but I guess it's high enough. If you play Invictus mode, I played literally two games of Invictus mode. There were 70 CPUs in each game.
Really?
Yeah, because apparently nobody's playing Invictus mode, which I'm not surprised by, but like everybody just wants to play Tetris 99. I feel
maybe
like
people
they
don't
want to
be elitist scumbags, you know? Maybe that's it.
Or maybe they should make like Invictus mode an event thing. Like every weekend or so, you're able to play Invictus mode, or when it's a Maximus Cup, you can play Invictus mode and get more points or something. I don't know. Like they have to do something, because I don't want to play against 70 CPUs and 30 people who have won previously a Tetris 99. That's lame. Well, it's also lame because I'm losing to CPUs, but that's not.
Are they at least like high level CPUs?
I assume, because I lost to some of them.
They're just like
probably
level one CPUs and actual good people.
Yeah, that'd be horrible. They're probably level fives. But anyway, so back to the SNES controller. I can't, because there's no sticks. The sticks are required for Tetris 99. I have to play on Joy-Cons so that I can switch between either specifically targeting people with the left joystick or generally targeting either random badges, attackers, or KOs. So I need the sticks. If you want to play it with a SNES controller, it works, but you have to literally attack randoms the whole game. You cannot pick anybody specific.
And that's just not going to cut it.
Yeah, and I won one of those games, but it was hard fought. It's like, some people, when we started playing this game, and I was one of these people, Trey was also one of these people, when we started playing Tetris 99, it feels random. Like, randomly you just get attacked by a grand bastard,
as I like to call him. Like, oh, another grand bastard found me again, I'm out.
Yeah, and he just gives you 20 lines and you're dead, you know, randomly, as if. But once you get better, it's not that random or anything like that, but this refreshes all of that randomness back into Tetris 99. You literally can't attack whoever you want, or you can't attack anybody specific, and if you go into KO territory, you can't get out. Like, if you have multiple people attacking you because you're in, like, the red zone, you can't attack attackers to try to get back out and magnify your power. If you start fucking up and people start attacking you in while you're playing with a SNES controller, it sucks balls.
Yeah, the key way to survive when everyone's attacking you is just go to attackers, and then your lines do more damage to, like, sort of compensate for that. It's like a balancing mechanic, basically.
Yeah, it basically it just removes more lines from your incoming, and it also sends more out. So, like, if you have 20 lines, or however many the limit is, if you have 12 lines coming towards you, and then you have multiple people attacking you, you can attack all of them. And if you clear one line, it will do wonders towards either clearing your incoming or sending more out.
Yeah, sometimes switching to attackers is mandatory to survive.
Yeah, and the SNES controller can't do it. And I'm mad about it. I understand. And I tweeted at Nintendo. It got 6 likes, so let's hope Nintendo heard me with my 6-like tweet.
I think they heard you.
I think they heard me, too. You know, I'm just waiting for, because I have a solution. Like, if you press, there's a ZR and ZL button. So if you could analog switch targets, like, it would help. It wouldn't make it useless. But as of right now, I'm just mad at how good the SNES controller is, but how bad it is for Tetris because of literally a specific control for specifically this Tetris game. Every other Tetris game, this SNES controller would be amazing. But because of the joysticks, or the lack thereof, it sucks.
Well, that's good to hear that at least the controller is good.
Yeah.
It's good. I would hope, like, Nintendo can make a proper version of a controller they had from decades ago, after all.
Yeah. Yeah, if you like SNES controllers, it's great. But I don't know if they're in stock or anything, so this isn't really an advertisement for it. But it's great for Mario Maker 2. I can play Mario Maker 2. The buttons aren't stiff. It's great.
Well, in more positive Tetris news, by the time this goes up, it will have already been over, but From this recording, tomorrow is like the day for the CTWC Classic Tetris World Championships stream that's going to go on.
Tetris stream.
And it's going to be, from what I've heard, like a much bigger prize pool, much like highly competitive compared to last year even. And I'm pretty excited to watch. I'm probably going to watch most of it. Like what I'm going to do, because I'm also going to stream some Three Houses tomorrow. So I might sort of like restream it while I'm doing a stream of that. Have like a Fire Emblem and watch CTWC on my stream.
Trey reacts
to Tetris and plays Fire Emblem.
What? That'd be sick.
But yeah, I'm pretty excited. Like I've heard some information about how much more competitive it's going to be. Apparently, for like the vast majority of NES Tetris's life, only like a handful, maybe like five people in the world have gotten what's called a max out, where you get the score to 99999, and or like, you know, six nines, mm-hmm. a million basically. And apparently like 2019 alone, there have been over 30 more max out players that joined the scene.
Jesus.
So it's really getting a lot more competitive, you know, with all the initial pop off with the Boom Tetris for Jeff memes and all that stuff. It's getting pretty crazy. So I'm excited to watch that stuff and see if the returning champion Joseph can do it again, or if someone else steps up, who knows.
But how do people join the scene with such a, like with the opening cutscene, you know, like why would people join,
you know,
the scene?
I was going to become a professional NES Tetris player, but the opening Tetris cutscene really turned me off from it. I was like, you know what? If they just remove that cutscene, I would totally join, but I'm out. Fuck this.
I'm out. I'm not investing thousands of hours into this game.
Fuck that. But yeah, NES cool. Tetris, it should be dope. It's being streamed on Classic Tetris, but not anymore because this is going up after it's going to happen. Oh, well.
I'm liking our weekly Tetris updates.
Yeah, they're nice.
Yeah.
Got to admit.
But yeah, so the end was kind of relaxing. That was a very relaxing me vent about the SNES controller, stuff like that.
You know, I think that we gradually went from a very heated first third with like the car thing and then the J. Cole controversy and Connor Ace controversy and all that stuff.
Yeah.
To like a middle section of arguing about Penta Hundreds, which is, you know, in the middle somewhere.
Also
now we're just chilling.
It was so. Also heated. But yeah, that was fun. That was good. I still don't know how we're going to wrap this up. This is going to be the wrap up. We're wrapping it up.
So, as a bit of a wrap up, I think we were thinking next week, maybe getting a first guest in here.
Yeah.
If that's possible, it may or may not happen, but if we can, we will totally do it. So stay tuned. We've got some guests in mind, you know, in addition to just Geradum, which will definitely happen at some point.
Just Geradum. I only have Geradum in my mind.
Geradum is 100% going to happen someday, but we have other guests in mind as well.
Like, do you want Geradum next week or do you want him both? Do you want next week and the week after?
Make That's a prediction right now. From episode 4 to 100, where's Geradum going to show up?
52.
Well, actually, I was directing that to the comments section, but I guess you can guess too.
Okay, I'll guess next week.
All right. Except, well, force that ourselves. Like, let's just do it, you know, 50 whatever, and then just do that. I don't know.
I'm not gonna say it.
We'll get him someday, I promise.
Yeah.
We're looking out.
Anyway, that was Video Games Are Hard with Sid and Trey. I'm Sid.
I'm Trey.
And that was the podcast. Thanks for
listening. Follow us on Twitter and Twitch.
Do it.
Links in the description.
We don't have a post amble, so this is the end.